Let's all bow before Almighty Father Yahweh. Gracious, most wonderful Father, we thank and praise you. We lift up your name in praise and honor and glory throughout each of our lives that you've watched over and protected us through the blessings you bestowed upon us, that you've had the mercy to show us the truth of your word, and that we can study it throughout history and through the scriptures. We thank and praise you for that love that you show to us, the love you show to us through your son, Yahshua the Messiah. For all, we lift up our thanks and praise and honor to you. We come together today on your Sabbath day to obey your word, to keep what you have commanded, to worship you, and to seek your face. We worship you in song and praise. We ask and hope that it is pleasing in your sight. We lift up names of people on the prayer request list that have needs in their lives and ask that you hear and answer those petitions and prayers. And that we need to more seek your face and thank and praise you for all that you have done and seek your guidance in our lives that we can live a life, a light to the world, a light to our family and people around us, that we can worship you and understand that truth and it live within us. And that we follow the example that Yahshua set forth. So lead and guide us today and help us to learn and grow as we honor you on your Sabbath day that you set forth for us. We thank and praise you for all these things, petition them before you. And we're thankful for Yahshua, your only begotten Son. And in his name we ask these things and praise and honor you. Hallelujah. If everyone will be seated. And Shabbat Shalom to everyone here locally at Hope Summit, for all those that are out in cyberspace or those that will listen in recordings. It's good to see you. It's a good Sabbath day. I'm going to start off with a question. What day is it today? Before you go off in the wrong direction, this is the Sabbath day, the day that we come together to worship Yahweh. Yes, there is a worldly holiday today as well, but what we see most important is the Sabbath day of Yahweh that He's give to us, that he's commanded us to keep. And although it wasn't planned this way, but the colors I wear, first and foremost, remember, these are the colors of Yahweh. His tabernacle, he was instructed to be red, white, blue, gold, and purple. So first and foremost, in even the colors I wear, I recognize the Almighty Heavenly Father and glorify him. And in then doing that, so something that's needed more so now is how much do we pray? How did you learn to pray? With the conditions that are going on, and this is kind of spurring off from being patriotic, the things that are going on in this country over the past few weeks, we need to be more in prayer. We need to seek Yahweh for his guidance and for his mercy, because we see, we're studying in Bible study about, we're in Kings and parallel in Chronicles, but we're studying in history about the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah and the things that they assimilated from the nations around them, and Yahweh warned them of it, and they suffered severe persecution for those things that happened, to where now it's titled as the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel. And Judah was taken in captivity, but he was brought back. So prayer. To start off with, we're going to back up a little bit. People that was not raised in Sacred Name Movement, understanding Yahweh's name, that maybe was in nominal Christianity. Did your parents teach you how to pray? Was there small little prayers that... There's several little prayers. We're going to go over them just as reminders to see. But as children, did you learn? And I censored all of these. I say censored, but what it is I put the correct names in their place. But do you remember sitting down to a meal and saying, Yah is great, Yah is good, let us thank him for our food. Amen. Children learn this as a beginning of learning how to try to ask the Heavenly Father's blessings. Also, a different form of that is Yah is great, Yah is good. And we thank Yahweh for our food. By Yah's hand we must be fed. Give us, Yahweh, our daily bread. Amen. And of course, a lot of these were written around poetic. They were poetic in rhyming. Another one would be, thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, Yahweh, for everything. Amen. And also, along with not only meal times, there's morning prayers, and then there's evening prayers. A morning prayer, such that was taught some, is Yahweh, in the morning, I start each day by taking a moment to bow and pray. I start with thanks and then give praise for all your kind and loving ways. Today, if sunshine turns to rain, if a dark cloud brings some pain, I won't doubt or hide in fear, for you, my Yah, are always near. I will travel where you lead. I will help my friends in need. Where you send me, I will go. With your help, I'll learn and grow. Hold my family in your hands as we follow your commands, and I will keep you close in sight until I crawl in bed tonight. Amen. If you'll listen to the words of that, I don't know, there's a general, true, earnest heart that maybe from a child they learn to try to seek the blessings of Yahweh and His guidance. Another would be, now before I run to play, let me not forget to pray to Yahweh who kept me through the night and walked me with the morning light. Help me, Yahweh, to love Thee more than I ever loved before. In my work and in my play, be Thou with me through the day. Amen. And also, that also should be our request, that Yahweh's with us each day and watches over and protect us. How many times has something happened in our lives, and if you really look back and say, maybe the blessings of Yahweh is upon me, things could have been worse. You know, there's always an optimistic side of looking at things. I heard they was talking about in the construction over here, they was talking about some of the Mennonites that will be doing some of the framing, and said one individual, this has happened, our contractor was telling about it, he hit his thumb and he was saying praises, and another guy that was not the Mennonites said, what in the world would you, I'm paraphrasing the story, but said, what in the world are you doing thanking the Heavenly Father for smashing your thumb? He said, well, he said, it could have been worse. I could have took it completely off. So there's always an optimistic way to look at something, especially in prayer and seeking Yahweh. And then, of course, going to bed at night. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray Yahweh my soul to keep. Yahweh, guard me through the night and wake me with the morning light. Amen. I was raised with a different version of that. It's now I lay me down to sleep, I pray Yahweh my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake, my soul Yahweh is to take. Amen. The basic structure there is, in mankind, there is still a hope of following Yahweh's way or recognizing Yahweh's way. And we hope that that still continues on and grows within the kids. One last one, Father, we thank Thee for the night and for the pleasant morning light, for rest and food and loving care and all that makes the day so fair. Help us to do the things we should, to be to others kind and good, in all we do in work or play, to grow more loving every day. Amen. The bottom line to these prayers is somewhere along the line, children were being taught how to seek the Heavenly Father or how to ask for blessings or thank for blessings. So prayer is simply communicating with the Heavenly Father, Yahweh. It's a communication right now, this day and time. It's a one-sided communication. Basically, we seek Yahweh. We seek His face. We try to listen to what He says, but we see in reference it's a small, still voice that a lot of times we don't hear. But we seek for answers, and do we get them? Do we not? But it's especially in times of need, in times of tragedy, wrecks, accidents, the loss of loved one, or sickness, definitely people all over the world seek for prayer and seeking Yahweh at that point in time. But I tell you, it's been put upon my heart that prayer needs to go way beyond that. We need to be communicating with Yahweh, not daily, but multiple times daily. It's from the heart, freely, spontaneous, and in our own words. Have you ever sat down at times and lost for words to say if you were trying to pray, or something gets in your way, something interferes? Back home in Georgia, we have a main rail line that runs right in front of our house. And it seems like I say, the adversary, I've totally said, he really tries sometimes. Because in the middle of our prayer or in middle services, when we're sitting there following services here, the train comes by and blasts the loudest blast that you can't even hear what's being said. So does something distract us from our seeking Yahweh and His will? We have to just seek harder. Prayer is a personal communication or a petition. It's addressed to Yahweh, especially in the form of supplication, adoration, praise, contrition, or thanksgiving. Okay, those are some words that sometimes you might not be able to place an actual meaning to them. So, before we go further there, if you'll look in the Strong's Concordance, in the King James Version, prayer, the word prayer is listed 114 times in 107 verses. So that means some verses have it more than once. The word prayed, past tense, with ED, is 65 times in 65 verses. Praying, ING, is 20 times in 20 verses. Prayers, S, you won't find. It's not there. The plural prayers is not there. Then prayest, E-S-T. Now this is part of Old English. A lot of people find it hard to read King James because of Old English. But prayest, your spell check will tell you, this word's wrong. It's spelled wrong. But it's Old English. And it's found two times, only two times, in two verses. And they're both in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. What is Matthew chapter 6? That's where Yahshua gives an example of prayer. Okay, back to where we're at. So, supplication. We were talking about in prayer, supplication is to make a humble entreaty, to beseech, to make a humble, earnest petition. It's a petition before the Heavenly Father, asking humbly. Adoration is a deep love or esteem. The act of paying honor or worship is adoration. Praise, we all know that. We do that in song. To proclaim or describe the glorious attributes of the Heavenly Father with homage and thanksgiving. To offer grateful homage to the Heavenly Father as in words of song. Also, contrition was mentioned. It's sincere remorse, regret for wrongdoing, repentance, a feeling of regret for one's sins or misdeeds. And then also was mentioned thanksgiving. And we all know what thanksgiving is thanking the Heavenly Father, giving thanks, and even in ways of praise. And of course, one of those forms of praise is a hallelujah, which a lot of people of the world don't understand what hallelujah means, praise you, Yah. And I test some people sometimes with that. I said, do you know how to say hallelujah in Russian? Do you know how to say hallelujah in Japanese? They say, well, it's hallelujah. That's one universal word. It's said the same no matter where. Okay, so in prayer, what is a proper position for prayer? Before we do that, Genesis 4:26 says, and Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of Yahweh. Now you notice that said that? Men become to call upon the name of Yahweh. Because what happened? Adam and Eve drew a separation by their sin. Also, in Genesis 6, chapter 3, Yahweh says that his spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. He set the day and time. Okay, Yahweh is spirit, and he said he would not always strive with man because we are flesh. So we have to seek him, what in the New Testament says, in spirit and truth. So what is a proper position for prayer or posture for prayer? Well, there's no specific that's diagrammed. It's kneeling, bowing over, sitting, standing with your arms raised, prostrate, laying face down, and walking. Nothing was mentioned about laying on your back, but a good, if you've got insomnia or can't sleep, try to pray while laying in the bed at night. The adversary will put you to sleep. Or try reading the scriptures. That's nothing that he wants there, is for you to be in contact with the Heavenly Father. There's no correct certain posture or way of praying. It's what seek. You find all these throughout the scriptures. So, to look at some of those, praying on your knees while kneeling, you can look at 1 Kings 8:54. That's where Samuel kneels with his hands spread up to heaven. Ezra 9:5 is where Ezra fell upon his knees to pray. Luke 22:41, Joshua kneeled and prayed in the garden. Acts 9:40, Peter knelt down before he brought back to life the Tabitha or Dorcas, the two names. Okay, there's bowing. Exodus 4:31, children of Israel bowed and worshiped when they found that they had been going astray, that they were disobeying Yahweh. Exodus 34:8, Moses bowed his head and worshiped. Nehemiah 8:6, when Tisra blessed Yahweh, the people bowed their head and raised their hands to pray. And then Psalm 72:11 says, all kings will fall down before Yahweh, before Him, the ruler, sitting. 1 Chronicles 17:16-27 speaks of David, King David. He sat while he prayed. Also, on their faces before Yahweh are prostrate, bound before Yahweh. 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat, he bowed with his face to the ground when he prayed. Joshua 7:6, Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face when he prayed. Ezra 10:1, Ezra casted himself down to the ground to pray. And then Matthew 26:39 and Mark 14:35, that's where Joshua in the garden fell on his face, fell to the ground. Matthew 26 says fell on his face, and Mark says fell on the ground when he sought Yahweh before his execution. Standing. Well, 1 Kings 8:22, Solomon stood before the altar and spread his hands towards heaven to pray. And he did that before the people. He didn't do it in secret. Nehemiah, the Levites, said to stand up, or Nehemiah told, he was talking to the Levites, and he said, stand up and let's bless Yahweh by standing and praising Him that way. Mark 11:25, Joshua said, when you stand and pray, so Joshua was talking to the disciples, and he said, when you stand and pray. And then Luke 18:13, the publican, he stood before the Heavenly Father, but he did not raise his head. And he asked the Heavenly Father to forgive him for any of the sins he had. He was not like the other that raised his head and said, oh, I've done this, I've done that. Patted himself on the back. He come standing back with his head bowed, walking. 2 Kings. Interesting concept, walking while praying. You can pray any which way. 2 Kings 4:35, that was Elisha when he was bringing back to life the little girl. He walked to and fro in the house as he prayed. You can pray with your eyes opened or closed, quietly, loud. however is most comfortable and at least distracted. When you go to a restaurant, do you make it a practice to pray? Just 2 weeks ago, Lisa and I were at Mandana's, and we don't make a show of it, but we usually hold hands and pray before the food comes to the table. After we were through eating, an older lady come over and she said, "I seen what y'all did." She said, and we've had some people confront us, and that sets forth an example. But we're not doing it for show. I'm doing it for asking the Heavenly Father's blessings and to seek the Heavenly Father. But what happens is that's where the light shines. People see that. That's just an example to give you. Matthew 6:7 says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." So when you seek out, and you'll see when you read Matthew 6, there is a form to prayer. There can be a form to prayer. Why should we pray? Prayer develops our relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's what we need, especially as the end times grow closer and near. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, all these prophets, they had to have a close relationship with their Heavenly Father, Yahweh. For those that come into persecution, to have a personal relationship. That's what prayer is about, is seeking out a personal relationship. How would this be? Here's a good example. Prayer is communicating with Yahweh. So a husband and wife, husband comes home from work, he walks in, he doesn't say anything to his wife, they go, he changes, takes a shower, changes clothes, sits down to eat supper. She serves the supper, he eats the supper, he gets up, he goes, does his thing, she does her thing. They go about their merry ways. What type of relationship do they have there? How do they know each other? How do they get to know each other? How do they understand each other? And this is the same with our Heavenly Father, is we need to know Him. He knows us. We need to know Him. A closer walk with our Heavenly Father. Zechariah 13:9. "And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined." This is forecast for the future. "And will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Yahweh is my Elohim." As they seek, as you seek, when you call out. And what did it say there? One stipulation there. It says, when they call on my name. So in prayer, we have to call on the Heavenly Father. We have to call on His name in Yahshua, His Son. John 15:7, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." Yahweh instructed us to pray. One of the simplest reasons to spend time in prayer is because Yahweh told us to seek Him. And this is the way. This is the way we seek Him. Because see, what does Romans say? We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and its powers. It's a spirit realm and a physical realm. And they do not totally intertwine. We have to seek Yahweh in spirit and truth in prayer. So, requirements for successful prayer. There is requirements in the Scriptures. One is a humble heart. 2 Chronicles 7:14 will tell you this. It says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray," humble themselves and pray, "and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Also another scripture I didn't put in there was Luke 18:1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Always pray. Wholeheartedness. Jeremiah 29:13. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall seek for me with all your heart." And also, what does the Shema say? It talks about with your whole heart, with your whole mind, soul, and strength. This is how we seek our Heavenly Father. Also, faith. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. You've got to believe. You've got to believe what you're asking. The Heavenly Father knows your needs. He tells us in the Scriptures. He knows our every needs. An example I think of here is me being a father, and we'll use something simple. It's good to hear your child or grandchild come up to you and say, Papa, I love you. You may love them. They would never know it if you don't tell them. They may care about you and love you, but if you would like, and you know they do, maybe because they come to visit, they play, you play with them or whatever. But to hear them say it, to hear the Heavenly Father, you seek out and call upon Him. He knows your needs. But why is He called Father? He is our Heavenly Father. He is like a father. So we need to go to Him as a father and ask for needs and thank Him for what He has done. This is a close, a lot of times prayer seems, I remember years ago, prayer just seemed like a series of words, a ritual that was said. But there's so much more behind the meaning of prayer. So much more behind it whatsoever. Also, righteousness. Requirements for successful prayer, righteousness. James 5:15-16 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and Yahweh shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, confess your faults one to another. That means don't go run telling all the little mistakes you've made. But we can confess that we're not perfect. We're humans. We make mistakes. We foul up a lot. But I reckon it also like people starting off being baptized, and when they it's like a child when they walk. And even those that are seasoned in the faith, if something causes you to stumble and make a mistake, like the little child, if a child never got up from trying to walk, that child would never walk. That child has to get up and try again, get up and try again, get up and try again. There was a time, my first son, I didn't think he was going to ever walk. But that's what we have to do in seeking out the Heavenly Father. This was the heart of David. He wanted to obey Yahweh. He wanted to do what's right, although he fouled up many a time. Obedience. Requirements for successful prayer. Obedience. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments. We obey Him. And do those things that are pleasing in His sight, as we are seeking to do today by keeping His Sabbath day, by keeping the holy days, by obeying His word, by what He set forth from the beginning of time throughout the history of the Scriptures. So Yahweh hears and answers prayer, and some examples of hearing and answering prayer you'll find in Psalm 34:17. The righteous cry and Yahweh heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. So we have comfort that Yahweh does hear and He will answer. You know, a secret to that is, a part of the secret formula to that is, you got to believe. You got to have faith. Remember, this wasn't a prayer, but it was a faith. Hebrews chapter on faith. But Joshua, when he was walking among the people, and the woman that had the issue of blood for many years, she said, and she meant it from the bottom of her heart, in the concept of her mind, if I touch the hem of His garment, I know I will be healed. Have you really thought about what concept of faith that was? There was no question. Maybe I would be. She absolutely knew. And what did Joshua tell her? thy faith has made thee whole. So, First Samuel 1:27, for this child I prayed, and Yahweh hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. And this was Samuel's mother when she sought to have a child. And then she was telling the priest that when she sought out Yahweh and had faith and exhibited all the requirements above, that he heard her prayer. She made a promise, if you go back and read in Samuel, and she kept that promise. Psalms 4, verses 1 through 4 says, hear me when I call, O Elohim, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? But know that Yahweh has set apart him that is holy for himself. Yahweh will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Now, you know, there's also another requirement in there as we look through the scriptures. It says, but know that Yahweh has set apart him that is holy for himself. Yahweh sets them apart. Stand in awe, sin not. So you have to follow the guidelines that Yahweh set forth. Psalms 18:6. In my distress I called upon Yahweh and I cried unto my Elohim. He heard my voice of his temple and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Yahweh heard his cry. Isaiah 58:9. Then shalt thou call, and Yahweh shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke of putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, says, then shalt thou call, and Yahweh shall answer. So we need to look for that answer. Luke 11:9-10 is the parallel of the same as Matthew 7:7-8. And then that's where Yahshua says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. When you seek the Heavenly Father, you seek his way. Why are some prayers not answered? Do we look at it that way sometimes? You know, David, sackcloth and ashes, he prayed for his baby that Bathsheba gave birth to. And I like using a parallel or a paraphrasing of that. He was in prayer. The two guards, after the child died, the two guards came to the door. And it's kind of like they were saying, oh, the child's dead. Go tell him. No, I'm not telling him. You tell him. No, you tell him. David heard them conversing. And he got up and he said, is the child dead? And they said, yes. And he said, so be it. Said he got up, cleaned himself up, walked for that. The will of Yahweh. So, it wasn't Yahweh's will for that child to live. Sometimes our prayers are not answered. And the Bible gives reasons why. Why are some prayers not answered? Disobedience. Deuteronomy 1:43-45. So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of Yahweh, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites which dwelt in that mountain came out against you, and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. So here it was being told unto the children of Israel that they wouldn't listen to him. They rebelled against the commandment. So their cries were not heard. And then it says, and ye returned and wept before Yahweh, but Yahweh would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. That's the important verse, and I didn't go to it. Yahweh did not hear their cry. 1 Samuel 14:37 also says, and Saul asked counsel of Elohim, shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel? But he answered him not that day. That is Yahweh, and didn't answer him. Does everyone know that story? Do you know what happened there? Saul asked about going to battle. He didn't hear an answer, so he took it upon himself to do. And then after the battle, and after what had been commanded, when Samuel come up, Samuel chastised him and told him and what was going to happen, his punishment for not waiting on Yahweh, because Yahweh didn't answer him at the time he requested. There it is. Get ahead of myself. Why are some prayers not answered? Secret sin. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, Yahweh will not hear me. So remember, try to remove iniquity from our lives and our heart. Indifference. Proverbs 1:28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Technical issues. The few little glitches is because the computer's wanting to fight with me. But so be it. We'll get the phrases up there. Neglect of mercy. Proverbs 21:13, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Stopping and not considering the poor, the cries of the poor. Think about that. And there's another one. Despising the law, Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. That tells you right there, you cannot turn away from the law of Yahweh. Blood guiltiness. Isaiah 1:15 says, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. So, being bloodthirsty, blood guiltiness, Yahweh says he will not hear through Isaiah the prophet. Iniquity, Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. This is what Isaiah was saying to the children of Israel. I knew it was going to do that. Micah 3:4. Then shall they cry unto Yahweh, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time. Stubbornness. Prayers are not answered because of stubbornness. Zechariah 7:13. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith Yahweh of hosts. They wouldn't hear, he didn't hear. Yahweh says, you don't hear, you don't listen, you don't obey, you don't do. I do not hear your cries, your prayers. Instability or doubt. James 1, 6-7. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of Yahweh. You got to be resolute and strong in faith, not be unstable or not doubt. You got to have faith and believe. Also, self-indulgence. If it's a selfish prayer, it's warned it will not be answered. James 4:3, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Many times when we pray, we should say, follow the example of Yahshua in the garden. He said to the Father that if it were possible that that cup passed from him, that he would not have to face death, the torture and death. But he said, however, not my will, your will be done. Yahshua's own request to his Heavenly Father was that he wouldn't have to experience that. But he was willing to accept the will of the Heavenly Father. We have to be the same. We have to do the same. Sometimes our prayers are refused. Prayers must be according to Yahweh's divine will. 1 John 5:14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We got to believe that. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that We have the petitions that we desire of Him. Now, also with that same thing, this goes back to faith and believing. And what does Joshua liken faith to? Is the grain of a mustard seed, which is very, very small. Faith is something very hard to acquire. Deuteronomy 3, 25 through 26, with Moses, said, I pray thee, let me go over. He wanted to go over to the promised land and see the good land that is beyond the Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. But Yahweh was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. Now see, this is Moses talking to the children of Israel. This is in Deuteronomy where he was going over everything with them before they went into the promised land, the land of milk and honey. He says, and Yahweh said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Yahweh told him, said, don't ask me again. That's pretty resolute. Have we had to do that before with our children? I've heard that sometimes in store, a child keep on and on and on and on and on and on. And some parents shaking their head. And have you ever heard that? I don't want to hear it again. I've heard that out of my father before. He said, don't bring the subject up again. Ezekiel 23:20, verse 3. Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel and say unto them, thus saith my sovereign Yahweh, are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith my sovereign Yahweh, I will not be inquired of by you. So through Ezekiel, Yahweh asked, are you inquiring of me? And then he told him to tell him, say, nope, you will not inquire of me. I'm not listening. Should we pray alone? Should we pray alone or with others? Which should we do? We pray together here when we come every Sabbath and in the holy days. We pray together. But should we pray alone? Is there a correct way? No, there's not. It's both ways. Matthew 18:19 through 20 says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And this last verse right here, I believe in my heart as well for those that are online, for those that listen to the recordings afterwards. Our Heavenly Father is a much greater Heavenly Father than we know. And that, to me, is still where two or three had gathered. They, in spirit and mind, you join us through the internet to worship Almighty Father Yahweh. You are in union with us, worshiping Yahweh. There is where I see also an example, not only in person, but also the Spirit as well. Through the Spirit, those people that gather together on the Sabbath to worship, from Canada to Georgia, I'm not in Georgia, but from California to the East Coast, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, wherever you want to go. It doesn't matter. Around the world, on the opposite side of the world, in spirit. Luke 1:10 says, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the same time of incense. So it was a whole multitude of people that were praying. Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Joshua, and with his brethren. Now this is in Acts, so this is after Joshua's execution. This was when they were seeking comfort. They were supplication. Remember supplication? Yahweh wants us to pray alone in secret at times, to seek his face. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. There Joshua prayed silently to himself. Luke 5:15-16. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Joshua also here, withdrawing from the people to pray. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to Elohim. This is Joshua by himself, and it said he continued all night. not 5 minutes, 10, but all night. Have you ever thought about Moses on Mount Sinai, 40 days? 40 days in the presence of Yahweh? Not just an hour or two. So when we pray, we are giving a petition before the Heavenly Father, a request. We offer supplication, a humble request, asking of something. We're asking guidance, how to be led, what to be taught. Do we ask that? Do we ask that of the Heavenly Father? Guide us. Guide us in our job. Guide us with raising our children and our grandchildren. Yahweh, guide us in teaching us the right way, to be an example, to be example to our employer or to our friends, to strangers. And the hardest one of them all is to, I don't say our enemies because we're not supposed to have enemies, but I say the enemies of us, ones that make us their enemies because they don't like our faith. How do we be a light and example to them? You know, observant Jews pray 3 times a day. We got that example. They still do this today, but we got that example from Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 and 11 says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," does everybody know what is transpiring here? Do you know the story of Daniel in the lion's den? A story that we tell our children. It says, "Writing was signed, and he went into his house, and his windows being open, Daniel knew that that was signed. He knew that he was fixing to violate the edict of the king, but he valued Yahweh more. Being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees." There you go. There's kneeling prayer. "Three times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before Allah as he did aforetime." He never quit. See, it even says that he continued on. "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before Allah." So the Jews to this day, they pray 3 times a day. Do we need to pray more than that? Us humans, we're habitual. We fall into habits real easily. I'm going to give you some examples. This is not pointing finger. This is generalities of everything, of everybody. But the more we eat, the more we want to eat. The more we sleep, the more we would want to sleep. Have you ever noticed how that works? The less we do, the less we want to do. You know, you have a lazy day. The less we eat, the less we want to eat. The less we sleep, the less we want to sleep. The more we do, the more we want to do. So in parallel to that, the less we read the Bible and pray, guess what? The less we're going to read the Bible and pray. The more we read the Bible and pray, the more we're going to read the Bible and pray, and we're going to seek out the Heavenly Father. So let's keep that in mind. The prayer, one of the most uniform prayers, it's a uniform prayer, but one of the most used prayers that the Jewish people do is they remember the Shema. And this is Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And it starts off, the fourth verse is, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim is one Yahweh." In the Hebrew, it's Shema, O Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Elohad. That's how it starts out. Then it says, "And thou shalt love Yahweh the Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You're being, this is saying that this is to be in your being, the sustenance, the essence of your being. "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Lisa and I have in our home the Ten Commandments we have hanging on the wall, and we also have the Shema. These are these are like summations of the essence of worshiping the Heavenly Father and obeying Him. And it reminds us to keep that foremost and precious in our life. And something that we need to be doing now is seeking Yahweh even more so with the, you know, I never imagined 30 years ago that I could see what happened is transpiring in this country today. But we need to be seeking Yahweh for His will. His will upon this country. His will upon the whole entire earth. His will in each of our lives. His will in all things. This is something we need to be keeping focus on. In Matthew 6, I mentioned it. Go to it and read it. There's two chapters that I would like you to read when you feel like meditating and reading. Matthew 6 and then also John 17. Matthew 6, there's where Yahshua talks about prayer. And he talks about, he tells them, that's the model prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But what you look at is he's telling disciples, he's not saying say that every time you pray. That is a format that our Father which art in heaven, when you pray, glorify who He is, recognize who He is. Praise His name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. In your prayer, your will be done, Heavenly Father, no matter what. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, provide for our provisions, our food, shelter, clothing, when you ask for Him to pray. It says, forgive us of our trespasses or our sins as we forgive those that sin. You know, there's stipulation there. You have to forgive the others in order for Him to forgive you. But anything that you've done, any mistakes that we've made, we're human. We make mistakes. We're going to stumble. But it's standing back up and asking for forgiveness and wanting to do what's right. And then your kingdom come, your will be done. That's a model prayer that Yahshua gave. Substance is in that. And if you'll read John 17, that's Yahshua's prayer in the garden when he appealed before Yahweh about the disciples and about him fixing to be executed. And if you'll look closely, you'll find all the concepts of Matthew 6's prayer and him seeking his Heavenly Father. His will being done, keeping in the hands of one exception. He's not saying forgive me of my sins, but he's talking about the people and keeping the disciples in Yahweh's, in His will and His way, keeping them from the world at that time. So Matthew 6, the model prayer that Yahshua set as an example. And then also with John 17, Yahshua's prayer before he was executed. So, back to position or posture for prayer. A review is that it could be any one of these. As long as we seek Almighty Father Yahweh with all our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. So keep this in mind as this time moves forward, as things transpire as they do. There is no message, I believe, of no subject that you could have all summarized into 1 hour. You just can't do it. Too many scriptures, too many meanings, too many things. This is not all inclusive. This is just an insight and the basic thing is we need to pray more and more often and seek Yahweh's face, because I don't know about you, but I would like to have hope to enter in that kingdom one day and getting away from this world that we see today. So may Yahweh bless you. Hallelujah.